is the Lord's Prayer, which is in Matthew 6:10. It says, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in Matthew 6:10. It says, through us, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Sometimes, like the church today, we seem to focus on what God can do for us and what God has done for me. But it's what God can do through us that leads others to Christ. Probably everyone here can lift our hands and say that someone invited us along to church. The only reason we came along is mum, dad, brother, sister, uncle, auntie, a workmate, a friend invited you to church. And that is how the kingdom grows, is through us. Through us inviting our friends and family and reaching them through bringing the gospel to them. And the focus of our two words that we're going to talk about this year is through our worship and through our witness. And through our worship, we talk about this verse where it says in Hebrews 13:15-16, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to our God, that's worship, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, worship. But don't forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased, through our witness. And our worship, we're focusing on three words, supplication, celebration, and adoration. And our witness is on these three words, declaration, transformation, and demonstration. I want to delve deeper into worship and these three words, supplication, celebration, and adoration. So supplication, the dictionary meaning of supplication is a prayer to God or a respectful request to someone in authority. That's from the Collins Dictionary. On vocabulary.com, it says, think of supplication as a sort of prayer, a request for help from a deity. The word carries a sense of awe and adoration with it, suggesting something tentative, even servile, a respectful appeal to a higher power. Although it's a noun, supplication comes with the Latin verb supplicare, which means to plead humbly. While a supplication is often thought of as a religious prayer, it's used 60 times in the Bible. It can logically be applied to any situation in which you must entreat someone in power for help or favor. In Acts 1:14, this is a good example of supplication. They all joined together constantly in prayer, supplication, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That was just before the day of Pentecost. In celebration, we're talking about it's a special, enjoyable event. We're all familiar with celebrations, birthdays, weddings, you know, all different kinds of things. A celebration is a special event that people organize because something pleasant has happened, because it is someone's birthday or anniversary. Also, the second meaning from Collins Dictionary is the celebration of something is praise and appreciation which is given to it. Praise and appreciation. I want to share where they use that term similar to what we're talking about with celebration here in the Bible. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, when this paralyzed man was lowered in front of Jesus through the roof, he said, get up, take your mat and go home. Then this man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to man. That word praised is the celebration of what God can do in response to a miracle. I got one miracle that I know that was done on the cross that is similar to a celebration that we can come from our worship. An adoration, a deep love or esteem, the act of worshiping. In Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. That word awe is similar to the adoration, or having a deep love or esteem and awe of Jesus. Now, I've got a couple of the team to come up. I'll get them to come up now. Maybell, Rhonda, and Jonah, they're going to come up and we're going to talk through some of these things and what worship means to them in their life. So give them a hand. So Rhonda's going to share with us first.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right. How are you, Rhonda? It's a bit high.
Short legs.
So those who don't know Rhonda was probably the first worship team member of the church when Pastor Jack and Carol started the church in, what, 1987?
Seven.
And she's been part of the worship team in and thereabouts pretty much most of the time since then. And she's such a great inspiration to many in the church. And a lot of people remember Rhonda singing and bringing us all into worship throughout the years. So, Rhonda, I'd love for you to share anything about worship, what it means to you, and how has it guided you through your walk with Jesus throughout your time and your journey?
Worship. It was something that I always loved to do as a child, just sing. When I gave my life to the Lord, worship was the thing that really got to my heart. Walking down the church, we were late to church because we had no idea, but we were late and we walked into the church and walking down, the only seats that were available were about third from the front. So we had to walk down to the church, to the front, and what I could hear were they were worshipping, singing a worship song, but I could hear also worshipping in tongues. And my heart just leapt. I thought, what is that? Because I was brought up a Catholic. I had no idea something could sound so beautiful and really touch my heart. Later in years, we had Rachel, and we tried to have a second child numerous times, but lost two, and our third attempt was a promise that I kept having prayer for. And one day I was having some trouble, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're losing your baby. Go home, put your feet up, and just let nature take its course." And I looked at him and I thought, I am not taking that. I'm not accepting that word. This is promised to me. This is a promise from God. And I drive home with Rachel, my first daughter, in the car, and all I wanted to do was drive home as quickly as I could and get on my face before the Lord in worship. It was the only thing I could do to struggle back the thoughts that were put in my head from the doctor, who was coming from a place of knowledge, but I had something more. I had a promise from God. And when God says something over you, it's true. I put my daughter Rachel out the back to play. I put on a tape, that's how long ago it was, and I started to worship to the music on my face on the floor in my lounge room. And as I cried and supplication before the Lord, begged Him, "This is your promise, Lord. I cannot lose this one." And I felt the presence of God come into my lounge room as I was on my face listening to worship and trying to praise, glorify, and adore Him. His presence came into my lounge room and it was so wonderful that you've heard that He turns your mourning into dancing. He turned my crying, my tears into joy. In that very moment in my lounge room with the presence of the Holy Spirit, He turned my tears into laughter, and I was gut laughing during the praise and worship. Just the worship was beautiful. The tape was going and I was laughing and laughing to the point of rolling around the floor laughing. And I felt the Lord say, "Everything's going to be okay." And that was through worship. That was my first experience, how powerful worship in a time when everything else was saying, "No, it's not good." Yeah. But worship, to focus myself on the Lord. And the song that was playing was an old song called "When I Look Into Your Holiness," and it's a gorgeous song. As a matter of fact, I was looking for that song this morning, It's a testimony that came to me. And as I played it, just the tears that rolled down my face. God is so good. I'm just going to put these words in front of me. Can we sing this?
Let's go.
I'll just pop this up here. Thank you, Jesus. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when my heart reaches out to your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you.
Thank you, Rhonda. Maybelle.
Oh, my goodness.
So, tell us about yourself, your journey, and how worship has influenced you in your life and even stayed to be here and strong at this church.
I mean, first of all, can we just praise God for Rhonda? You're amazing. When I first came to this church, I'm a Kiwi girl, so I'm from New Zealand. And I moved here because my husband, he got a contract. He was playing for Panthers. And we started our life here, and I was looking for a church because I was raised a born-again believer. I was saved when I was 14. I was part of a small... It was actually a church plant. It was a small garage church, born-again believers. And I was raised believing in Jesus. And when we moved here, me and Joe looked for a church, and we couldn't find any church in Penrith. We were like, what is this place? And then someone said, there's one just off Northern Road. So Joe dropped me off at church, and Rhonda was singing. And I remember, I think you guys were singing, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love. And I was like, I'm home. I've found my home. That was 22 years ago. And for 22 years, I've been part of the worship team. I've come and I've gone. There's been ups and downs. But there is a calling, not just to sing songs, there's a calling to Jesus when it comes to worship. And when I think about worship, you know, we talk about Instagram reels, but I have gone through seasons where there has been reels going through my life. I had a song for when my father passed away. And that was hard, but I was here worshiping Jesus. But the song for that season was, "It Is Well With My Soul." There was a time where we went through COVID and I felt so away from people, and I was going through a season, and the theme song that time was, "I Will Exalt You." But there's a season that I do remember, and this is probably going back maybe 15 years ago. I was in the worship team, and when I'm in the worship team, like, I have always made it a priority to, that's my sacrifice of praise, turning up on Wednesday, turning up and, you know, just being part of the team. It's so important. But there was a season where, you know, me, and I think my husband, he's shared his testimony, but we went through a really hard time. And there was a moment for me where I was like, I don't think I can go to church. I don't think I should go. I just want to stay home. And I remember just feeling lost. And in my head, I'm like, I love you, God, but why is this happening to me? And I remember, Raylan was the choir conductor. Do you remember this? She was the choir conductor, and I said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming to Muto. I can't be there. But I remember God said to me, when you praise God, you're declaring war. You're declaring war against the enemy who's coming to attack your family. When you praise God, your community comes closer. So praise God. And I remember walking up on stage and Raylan's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I have to praise God. I have to praise God through this season. And me and Joe, we renewed our vows 25 years. We're 25 years married. And it's been amazing. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, we talk about worship team or worship ministry, but before it's worship team or worship ministry, it's worship life. It's worship in every season. It does not matter if things are good or bad. You're going, if you see me here, it's because I love Jesus more than anything else. And I would say that this, there's a song that has been my life theme. And I'm going to sing it. Do you mind if I sing this song? This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your every word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I I'm desperate for you, Jesus. I'm lost without you.
Wow, thank you. Jonah.
Yo.
What about yourself? I heard you sharing the other day, you've been part of a music team since you were 11 years old.
Yeah.
Four.
So,
yeah.
Quite a while. You grew up in the church here, but how's worship influenced you and shaped your life?
Sure. On Wednesday at our rehearsal night, I was able to share my testimony of the years of serving in the kids' church or the youth group or the services here. And there's a lot of different experiences that come with that, but the thing I shared then and what I want to share with you guys now is based really out of Paul's letter to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." And Matt, my brother-in-law / youth pastor / friend, he shared not too long ago at one of the youth services where he kind of laid out this definition of worship taken from this beautiful verse. And he said, "Worship is the daily rhythm of pledging your allegiance to God and his will in your life in everything you do." And not too long ago, I had my own real revelation of what worship is. There's lots of head knowledge that you get. And I mean, I'm still young relatively, but there's so many things that I know in here that haven't really sunken down to my heart. And something that recently sunk into my heart is that worship is my life. And that's what Paul's trying to say here, that worship is not just some song that we sing or an act of putting up our hands or something that's reactive or responsive or depending on how your life is going or a reaction to good things or bad things. But if you look at the Psalms, for example, David, he just worships all the time about everything, singing about his victories and his losses and his depression and his joy and everything. And I think what Paul's trying to say here is that the best way you can worship, and this is what kind of happened to me recently, I realized this, that the best way I can worship isn't with an instrument or by singing, but it's by being a friend to someone, or worship is forgiving people. Worship is turning from sin. Worship is laying down my desires. Worship is submitting to God's will. Worship is sending a nice message to someone who needs it, or spending time with a friend who you think could just do with a good chat. Like, that's all worship. Yeah. And there's a song, this beautiful song that was written by this house a long time ago, and I grew up on these songs. One of them in particular is called Day by Day. And this song was what sparked this revelation for me of the beauty of a life that is worship, a sacrifice of worship every single day, not just a Sunday or on a Friday at youth or when we're rehearsing songs, but it's actually a daily devotion, a sacrifice and a laying down. And that's the worship that God sees. That's the worship that God finds truly beautiful. That's what Paul says is, I don't need to paraphrase, I'll read it again. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." And so, I'll sing that song for you right now so you can hear the lyrics. But just realize, and along with me as I have over and over again, that worship doesn't have to be weekly, it's daily, it's a devotion, it's a sacrifice, it's a laying down, it's a choosing to follow Jesus. This song's called Day by Day. It's beautiful, written by some awesome people in this church.
I hear you call me deeper than where I have been to walk with you day. Walk with you day by day. And my heart is longing for more. than these earthly joys, to walk with you day by day, walk with you day by day. And I give my every day to walk with you, my Lord, and just to know you more is my greatest reward. My devotion is more than a season. I worship and daily give praise to my King. You are Lord, you are God. My devotion is more than a season. I worship and daily give praise to my King.
Wow, thank you. Does any of you three have anything you'd like to add or say to anything that's been said?
Can I just finish with a scripture? I just want to say Psalms 42, 1 verse 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? That's my name.
Beautiful. Rhonda?
Beautiful. I loved how Mabel was saying that there are seasons in your life that your praise or your worship changes, and it's so very true. But sometimes we feel a little empty. But just push through those moments. God will never forsake you or leave you. He is always with you, even in the times that you feel that you're not there. He's there. He's so there. He's there all the time. But press in with your worship and press in with that praise and to glorify Him. And as we're saying, it's a lifestyle. It's what we were created for. Amen.
Amen. Jonah?
Ditto.
Well, thank them. Thank Rhonda and Maybell and Jonah. Let's all give them a hand. Thanks a lot, guys. I just want to share one verse to kind of wrap up that says, Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and all these things will be added to you. But in the Amplified version, it says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be added to you. I'm sure from what we've just heard tonight is that these three have lived lives where they have sought God all the time and every day. And worship has been one of those things. I find myself is that when I haven't had worship as the main focus of my life and looked at the everyday mundane tasks as an opportunity for worship, that's times where I've slipped up or said something wrong or not done something right. But I encourage you tonight, as the team's going to lead us in a song, press into worshiping God. Open up yourself to Him. Allow Him to work in you and seek Him. Seek Him. Seek His attitude and it will work through you and change your life. I had something the other day where I wasn't looking at everyday mundane tasks, allowing the worship to work through me. And I slipped up. I said something wrong. But I want to make every opportunity for God to work through me, for His Spirit to work through me and to change my life. So as we stand, I'm going to pray and the team's going to lead us in a song. Look at this as an opportunity to enter into that place of worship, to allow the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you and change you and and give you one of those lives of long-standing worship with God. Father, we just come to you right now, open and ready for you to work in our lives. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to work in me, Lord God, we open ourselves up, and I'm ready, Father. Thank you, Jesus.